On the side of a busy parkway in Indianapolis, cars speed past a flood of bright green t-shirts. It's a group of more than 40 high schoolers who gather each morning to work in a vegetable garden. The garden is the size of two basketball courts, and it brims with tomatoes, cabbage, dill weed, and fragrant mint and basil, as well as a few chickens.
None of this stuff was here in 2019. We really just started all of this stuff. Like, they teach you a lot just by working here.
Kenyatta Reed is a 17-year-old with long braided hair and a beaming smile. She's part of a youth program called the Green Team.
For me, it's really the people. This, like, it feel like a second home. It's not really just about work. Like, it's fun to be here. And you get paid to be here, so just double it for me.
The youth get paid as much as $10 an hour. Reed uses that money to help with family bills and to do some shopping for herself. Still, she feels most empowered by the skills and knowledge she learns here.
So here, actually, the marigolds and the basil are protecting the tomatoes from nematodes in the soil.
Phyllis Boyd is the executive director of Grand Work Indy, the nonprofit that has organized this summer program since 2016. She draws from history and her expertise as a botanical and environmental scientist as she teaches the youth how to grow their own food.
So Native Americans used to approach plantings in this way, where you'd have the squash that would spread on the ground and you know, crowd out the weeds. The corn would grow up, and then it would provide a structure for the beans to grow. And so you'd have these all growing together.
And she makes sure her lessons go way beyond how to pair plants and arrange a garden.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we like to do, is not just have youth involved in the hands-on, you know, like, work that's, you know, dirty and heavy, and but actually have them engaged in the process of how you think and dream about spaces and how you can change them, and then work on visioning and then planning and design and then implementation. And so they get to see the whole arc of like how you as a person can do stuff in the world.
Granted, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done in this neighborhood. For starters, the Green Team had to test the soil for lead contamination when they chose this spot for the garden. Lead is a toxin used in some industries and can be found in soil, old house paint, and water. This neighborhood is a hot spot for lead poisoning in children and elevated lead levels. The garden soil was no exception, but the Green Team had a solution.
You bring lead-free soil in, and you garden with that soil, and that's what you're in contact with, not the soil that's underneath.
Katie Hawthorne, a 22-year-old program supervisor, says outside of this garden, the youth aren't always given the space to try out things and find creative ways to solve problems.
You know, a lot of them are going to my high school, and I know how I struggled while I was there.
She came to the program during a college internship. She has a degree in public health and anthropology from Purdue University. And like many of the youth here, she struggled to find nurturing, safe spaces.
People not letting kids be kids, and when they say that inner city schools are run like prisons, I think that's a very serious statement.
The presence of police.
And it's just a very rigid system that doesn't allow for creativity, doesn't allow for them to make mistakes and learn from them in a valuable way.
She says for the Green Team, this is a place for hope and respite from a harsh reality. They live day in and day out. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Farah Yusri.